This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
You realize that Pastor Dave can count?
But only backwards.
This is very impressive.
Only backwards.
He went from 10 down to 1 in 10 seconds.
It takes years.
It was impressive.
Yeah.
It was impressive.
And radio today, experience.
Voice of experience.
That's right. And
this is Joe Martech. This is the Team Martech Hour, and the team abandoned me today, folks, for those that you know. The team consists of Joe Martech, financial advisor, Vince Rosino, CPA, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, REMAX of Stewart, Mr. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, and Gregory Fasula, attorney. And the concept of what we do for people is simply to answer questions, to help people any way we can. We have local professionals that have all been in business a long, long time, and I'm talking 20 and 30, almost 40 years for some of us. And we're all blessed people. We've all been very fortunate, and we're just happy, happy, happy to be here. And we have a guest, special guest, who abandoned us last week, who's here a lot of weeks, and he had to go out to Las Vegas on purpose. You weren't forced to go out by yourself?
No, I wanted to be with a college buddy who unfortunately has been diagnosed with heart failure, but he's doing well. But it was a fabulous trip because really there are two Las Vegases. There's one Las Vegas that we all know about, but there's the other Las Vegas, and that Las Vegas is just like any other city.
Yep. And it's clean and
it's
neat.
Clean. The schools are great. As a matter of fact, Tom Creighton was asking me off the air a few minutes ago, besides the tourist and gaming industry, what is Las Vegas's industry? And I said, believe it or not, healthcare. A lot of the major healthcare firms, insurance companies have a massive presence in Vegas, and many retirees have moved out to Las Vegas, and they never get close to the part of the area of Las Vegas that might not be as biblical as
people are thinking,
as the Ozzy and Harriet type that is also there.
Everybody should write this phone number down. This is a critical phone number. This one should be sitting next to your phone because this is the educational hour. And that phone number is, and I'm going to repeat it a couple of times because I realize not only is Alan Love and Pastor Dave old people, I'm actually one of them. And sometimes we don't write as quick as we used to. Can you believe that?
I can.
You can? 1-888-221-8990. Now, that's toll free from any place. 1-888-221-8990. Now, you call in, talk to me, talk to Alan Love, talk to Pastor Dave, talk to Pastor Tom. Whoever you want to talk to, we're on the air. This is an open mic type session. We're here to help. Now, but I've got a question, Dave.
Yes, sir.
Because you're are you an active pastor or a retired or kind of?
I'm active still.
You know, I think what happens when you become a part of the quote clergy, you never really quit.
That's true. You never retire.
That's all. Now, even though you may not be on a board or a pan, you still are always going to be active until you get fried, which you're close, but you're not there yet.
I'm not in the frying pan yet.
You're on the frying pan. I had an interesting thing today. I'm out with a group of my buds just before I got here, and they two people were having their 20th anniversary, so it was a little bit of a celebration with a cake and different people. And another couple that I know on the cusp, I was talking to them just before I leave, and they said, "Why are you leaving, Joe?" And I says, "Well, I've got a radio show that I'm going to do at 4 o'clock, and I have to, you know, sound semi-legitimate for that, so I'm going to leave here in a few minutes and go." I said, "It's Christian radio." She said, "Christian radio?" And I said, "Yeah." And I said, "Are you a Christian?" And you know what she said?
What's that?
"I want to be."
What an opportunity.
What an opportunity. Dave, I mean, how often does somebody say that?
Rare. Absolutely.
Isn't that something? Alan, I mean, it kind of takes you back, doesn't it?
Yeah. It sure does, but...
I wasn't expecting it.
It's up to us, though, to take that opportunity and help that person.
Well, you know, I said to her, and I says, "I hate to tell you, this is relatively easy." You know, in order to become a card-carrying Christian, now forgive me, folks, I use my own phraseology for this. There's no such thing as a card-carrying, but, you know, I'm kind of saying you openly profess your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, is it that easy, Dave?
Just ask him in, and he's ready.
And it's just that simple.
That simple. Once you invite him in your heart, he'll come right in.
So, and I said to her, I said, "It's just that easy." Now, her girlfriend was there, and she goes, "I've been telling her that." And I said, "I'm going to tell you right now. You listen today onto the show, and it's pretty simple." And I said, "Now, if you really want to get grandiose about this, I can take you out on a boat to the sandbar, and I'll dunk you out there in front of 200 or 300 people. And that means you really mean it." Because when you dunk yourself out in front of atheists, agnostics, and Christians, and who knows what's, that's a very serious commitment. Is that fair?
I think so. So you're going to take her out and baptize her?
I'm doing this because even though I have been very blessed to have led a few people in my life to Jesus, because what happens when you're a financial advisor, people trust you with a whole bunch of stuff, and all of a sudden when somebody gets close to dying, they get scared.
Yes, true.
You haven't never noticed that, I know.
Always.
I know. I'm kidding. Yeah. I'm kidding. I'm picking on you. You know
that's
that.
That's all right. I know.
But what happens is the fear of dying isn't the fear necessarily of leaving this. It's called what's next.
Right.
And those of us that have openly professed our faith in Jesus and became committed Christians, we say, okay, fine. I can die anytime now. It's not a big deal. And to get that mindset is not that easy. Now, so... I didn't spend a whole bunch of time on this, Alan, but you and I both know you've spent time, I've spent time, Pastor Dave, you've led people. I've had numerous clients over the years that were having this struggle openly professing. And you know how sometimes a person won't necessarily talk to the people that are closest to them?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Especially if they're spouses. You mean I'm going to believe what my wife's telling me? You got to be kidding. Or I'm going to believe what my husband is telling me? You got to be kidding. And I have some very vivid memories of sitting with a client who was going to die, and his wife was a born again Christian. And I said, "This is not a hard thing to do. This is a very simple thing to do. Let me just ask you, do you believe in Jesus Christ?" And he goes, "Yeah." "You believe in God then, because God was the Father and Jesus is the Son. You believe that? Yeah. Do you believe Jesus died for our sins?" "Yeah." And I said, "Okay, you just arrived." This was not such a hard thing to do. And he says, "Well, shouldn't I say something?" And I said, "You just did." He said, "Well, can you write that down for me?" So, so he could repeat it.
Yeah.
You know, it's called when you're openly profess your faith in front of 100 or 300 or 500 or who cares how many people, and you get dunked in a pool, in a pond, in a lake, in a something or other, that's more dramatic and it looks more convicting, does it not?
It does. But what you just talked about, the bedside conversions, right, are just as powerful.
And I look at people, and I'm listening to people. I'm not listening to people. People are listening to me on the radio today, and I know that there's people that listen to this thing that are still grasping or wondering or hoping that they're doing the right thing. And I got to tell you, it's a revelation for all three of us here that have made that step as a conscious adult or a conscious old enough person to make a conscious decision that said, "Hey, I am a committed Christian, period." And I just kind of had a rush today that I was there. And I'm not done with this person, because now I've planted that seed and I know she's really getting upset. Because you remember this? I mean,
oh yeah.
When you first plant that seed?
Yep.
Because, and I know we, Alan, you and I have talked about this when you made the, when you made the conversion, we made that thing. And I'll never, ever forget how it happened to me. Of course, you never do. There's some things in life that just going to stick with you your whole life. And we had Calvary Baptist Church in Clearwater, Florida. Bill Anderson, Billy Graham clone, handsome devil, 6'2", Texan. I mean, he's stereotyped the perfect Christian preacher. And he was a talent. He's probably the most talented man I've ever met in my entire life. When I say talented, I am impressed with anybody that is musical, dance, pick a talent. His talent was, he was an unbelievable teacher, and he had a memory like an elephant. He had 3,000 people a week coming to Sunday school, and he remembered every one of them.
Wow.
He had a talent. And one Sunday afternoon, evening, I got this phone call. And I answered the phone, and I always answer the phone, Joe Martek. And he goes, Bill Anderson. And I said, Bill Anderson, Bill Anderson. I said, I know two of them. One's a country singer, and one's a preacher. And he says, well, I can't sing. And I said, Bill, how are you? And he says, good. He says, listen, I'm two blocks away from you. I want to come by and visit. And I said, okay, come on over. So I hung up the phone. My wife said, who's that? And I said, that's Bill Anderson. She goes, Bill Anderson, Calvary Baptist Church? And I said, yeah. She goes, quick, put a shirt on, get some clothes on, hide the scotch. And I said, no, no. Why would I do that? She goes, well, because he's the preacher and he's not going to like that. And I said, no, no, that's not true. He's coming to our home. He's a friend. And he came in. We sat down at the table, kitchen table, just like you would with anybody else in your family. And we're talking. And he says, all right, Joe, I've been watching you. He said, you're about ready. Maybe next week, maybe the week after. But pretty soon, you're going to walk up there in front of everybody, and you're going to openly profess your faith. And then the next week, I'm going to dunk you in the tank up there in front of everybody. And I said, two things. I said, well, Bill, number one, is the water warm? And he says, I can't guarantee it, but I'll do the best, because I've got to go in with you, and I don't like it cold either. And then second thing I said is, Bill, I drink scotch. And he says, I'll make you a deal. And I said, what's that? And he says, I won't tell you what to drink if you don't tell me what to preach. And that was the end of it. And a couple weeks later, or next week, I stood up in front of I don't know how many hundreds of people, and not necessarily stood, got dunked. And he didn't drown me. I think he held me down a little longer than normal, just to get even with me for picking on him. But all I'm trying to say, folks, is to become a committed, born-again Christian is not that hard to do. There's many ways to do it, and you can be dunked and baptized and do all the rest of it. But most of it is telling yourself and telling anybody that this you're proud to be, and you openly profess, and you commit your life.
Amen.
Is that pretty simple?
Pretty simple.
And it can happen anywhere. As a matter of fact, when I was in Las Vegas, I got the best gift I could get. I was having dinner at a restaurant in downtown Las Vegas, and I had rented a power scooter. And when I returned after dinner to my power scooter, there was a Bible in the basket with a nice note inside about the love of Jesus, and that
what a nice gift,
and that hopefully I am a Christian, and that the person that gave me the Bible didn't sign a name but said I'm praying for you.
Well, wow. You know, that was a person with their personal mission, which is a wonderful thing. You know, I've heard people grasp and constantly with, what do I need to do now that I am? And I said, well, hey, just keep your mind open. That's all. And Dave, come on, stay with me here. You're the preacher here. I'm not.
Well, you're doing a pretty good job, Joe. Just listening.
Anyway, I just thought I wanted to share that because it was kind of my rush of the day that
cool.
These things happen. And as I said, this particular person, and there's a one that's on the periphery that is going to make it more interesting, because her girlfriend, this lady's girlfriend, is a committed Christian. She wants to be. And her husband, I don't think he knows what he is yet.
He's
so
working on it.
You know, this kind of gets fun for me. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's exciting to share your faith.
It is. It is. Well, you know, when I look at somebody, I joke about it in my business, in our business. Alan is a financial advisor, also a retired attorney, prosecuting attorney. And, you know, when you use big words, we call it estate planning, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I call it, are you ready to die? Mm-hmm. Now, estate planning and ready to die is the same thing. Now, there's two forms of getting ready to die. One, are you ready to meet God? And is your economic situation straightened out enough that you're not going to cause untold grief for your family? So you have two different swords here. Well, the money one is pretty easy for us because we do that for a living, and we put wills and trusts and help people get organized. Getting committed with God and Jesus is really, in my mind, pretty simple, but it's a conviction where you in your head have to say, hey, I am there. And anyway, so much for my preaching. Let's get down to why we're here today.
All right. But that was part of it, Joe.
Well, this is my fun part of it.
This is part of what God uses this radio show for.
Well, and you know, that's why I'm doing this. Yeah. And you know, and I'm not against doing this at any place. If you, I'm sure you've noticed that I'm a very shy and humble person. Well, forget the humble part. Just and the whole concept of what we've done with, quote, Team Martech, starting in around 2004, because none of us can remember exactly, Joe Martech, financial advisor. I'm also called a stockbroker. I'm a securities principal, which simply means lots of licenses. Lots of clients here and in 13 other states because people move and referrals, etc. But people would come to me and ask me questions that I did not know the answer to. And in my, again, not too humble opinion, if you are a credible professional, you align yourself with other credible professionals in order to help your client. Now, the word credible is critical, meaning they have to know what they're doing. So when I first started to assemble this group of professionals, I wanted people that were not new in business. I wanted people that were local, that lived here a long time and had been in business a long time, that hope to stay in this area for a long time, and that were competent. But last and definitely not least was the word integrity. Is this an honest person? Is this a good person?
And the other word is ethics.
Ethics, integrity, credibility. Point is, if you're a good person and you're out there to do the right thing for people, you won in life.
Right.
I mean, it's just, you won. Because that circle, what goes around comes around, I'm 1,000% believer in it. And the more good things you do for people, the more comes back to you. Is that simple, Alan?
That's simple. And here's a PNA, 888-221-8990. Please call us with any question you have regarding any area of Team Martech, whether it be real estate, trust in estates, financial planning. We're here until 5 o'clock today to answer your questions. So that number again is 888-221-8990. And Joe, we were talking before on the air about regulations, and that's one thing your team does. Back in the Obama administration, Obama administration felt that they wanted to put more regulations, as an example, on the coal industry.
Yep, yep, yep.
The current administration is going the other way, and that's part of what your team has to do. It has to know these changes in regulations and how it affects. And the question is, how does changes in government policy affect our lives? And the simple answer is greatly or very little, depending on what the change is.
And you know what happens is, we have this new administration totally with a whole different outlook from the prior administration. And right now, for a period of time, we have what's called optimism. The people that elected them are very optimistic. People that were not happy with them are, some of them are cautiously optimistic. But this is the president of the United States. He's our leader of this country. And we all want him to accomplish things that are in the best interest of us, the Americans. So us in the securities business, meaning a stockbroker, We are under massive regulation, as is the banking industry, as is a whole lot of different industries. And a lot of major industries have looked at the last 8 years especially, and maybe even longer, at being anti-growth, and they have hurt, in some opinions, American gross domestic product, which is growth. So now, with lessening regulations, the attitude out there is extremely optimistic. Now, what happens in the stock market, perception is probably more important than reality, because the stock market trades 6 months to a year in advance. So if a share of stock today is like $50, normally that is not the value of the company today. That's the value of what they think the company is going to be 6 months or a year from now. And when optimism is there, the stock market goes up pretty dramatically, which is where it's been. Now, caution. It's also called, is the stock market fairly priced? Well, we have opinions. Most of us were concerned, most of us would say today that are in the business, that it's probably a full bucket. If they had a bucket full of water and the stock market was it, that bucket is pretty close to the top. That doesn't mean there's not opportunity, but because of perception that our new administration is going to do these things to lessen regulations on various industries, and especially, as Alan was saying, the coal industry. But it isn't just coal, it's everything to do with energy, it's everything to do with business, to try to stimulate business to grow, which would, if you grow a business, you go add more jobs, and if you add more jobs, the unemployment picture keeps getting tighter and tighter, and when that happens, wages go up. It's a pretty simple equation, and this is nothing new. Most people don't think about it this way, but as the unemployment rate gets extremely low, most companies, in order to keep their key employees, or even any employee that they want to keep, wages start to go up because they have opportunities to go someplace else, and the employers don't want them to go. So what happens? The standard of living starts to go up. So literally what we're saying today, and Alan, the reason he brought it up was, our current administration is wanting to lessen regulations and restrictions on especially the coal industry lately. That's become a big thing, which has caused a surge in the value of coal stocks today.
Well, the way I look at the United States is I think the United States, as far as its economic policy, is a teeter-totter. Sometimes the people that want more government regulation and more government involvement, they're at the top of the teeter-totter, while the people that want less government regulation are near the bottom of the teeter-totter. But that has changed throughout our history.
Yes.
And that, I think, has been the vibrancy of our country, where if things get so one-sided in one direction, the American people step up and they make that change. And so that, I think, bodes well for the long-term future, and it especially bodes well for our economy, because our economy is able to change based upon what is happening in the world, that it's not a stagnant economy like you get like you had as an example in the old communist Russia,
sure,
where there was just one way of doing things, and the people had to do it that way, or there was no other way.
What happened is that what he's leaning towards is that type of governmental influence stops creativity and stops initiative. Folks, we all know there's every single person is an individual. My whole thing in life is I judge nobody. Please, Lord, don't ever let me judge anybody. But I envy anybody that is content with their position in life. I don't care if they're working at McDonald's or if they're running General Motors. If they are a happy person and content, that person's to be envied. Well, in America, you can be any one of those things. Any one of those.
Absolutely.
And that's the nice thing about our country as opposed to other countries that have not always had that thing, and especially in the oppressive regimes where people are controlled rather than given free mind, free will. America's it. So literally where we were talking earlier, Pastor Dave, Pastor Tom, Alan, and I earlier were about this administration right now is creating a bit of an optimism for the industrial complex to try to stimulate business and try to remove some restrictions that have held businesses back. Now, in my business, I see it firsthand in the banking industry, which has been extremely difficult for small business people. And I hope that is wrong in the near future. You know, I grew up, and Alan, you probably too, where I could call my local banker and say, hey, Fred, this is Joe. And he'd say, hey, Joe, how you doing? I said, good, I need $5,000 in the bank right now. And he'd say, okay, fine, it's in. Come in tomorrow and sign a piece of paper. Those days are gone.
They are indeed.
Because of regulations. Well, yeah. Okay, some of that stuff, there's nothing wrong with the way it was, but somebody gets a mood and they change things. And all of a sudden, that decision, that little tiny $5,000 that I needed that day, might have caused me a major disaster if I couldn't get it. But I knew Fred would do it, and he knew I'd be in tomorrow, you know, to sign the paper.
You know, to me, the best financial book I ever read was called The Bible. Believe it or not, outside of the Lord himself, finances is the second most talked about topic in the Bible. Did you realize that?
And you're a pretty good biblical scholar there, and I know that. So every once in a while when I really need to know something, I don't call Alan. No, I call Alan.
all you basically have to do is apply the biblical principles that are in the Bible, and you will be content. I'm not going to say that you're going to be a millionaire because there are many, many factors outside.
Many factors come into this, but here it again is back. Let me skip all of that part and let me go into a new part.
Okay,
and let's talk about. The reason we have this group together was to get local professionals to help people. Mortgages, that's become a monster subject. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, he has helped more people, I'm telling you, than I think the rest of us combined, because the real estate industry was in a flux like crazy and is coming out of it now, and things are starting to look pretty decent. So he became an extremely important part, showing people how they could qualify for mortgages, how they could have credit scores in the 500s, and still qualify for a mortgage, let alone having to be in the 7s or 8s. Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, is the hardest working realtor I've ever met in my entire life. Vince Rosino, CPA, had a person today that called up, has a tax question that I had never heard, and it always amazes me after being an old person that you think you've heard it all and something new constantly comes up. That I'm gonna have to call Vince and have her call this lady and explain the situation to her. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, big word, independent, meaning he doesn't represent one insurance company. He represents the client, and he has 100 companies under his umbrella. And if he can fit 98% of the people, the ones he can't fit, by the way, he doesn't do big jets and he doesn't do monster yachts. Yes, that's not his ballywick.
Darn, and I was just looking for
I know you were thinking about that 85-foot boat you were right. But you wondered if you could afford the insurance. Let me tell you, if you can afford the 85-foot boat, you don't worry about the insurance.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so the concept of the group is literally to educate people, to help people make the right decisions, and it's been an absolute treat that I've got a group of people that have integrity that are only going to do the right thing. I get questions. In fact, last week we had a caller towards the end of the show who happens to be a client who I was picking on a little bit, who might be listening, and I'm not even going to tell her name is Amanda. I wouldn't do that. But she asked a question that we take for granted, Alan, every single day, and that is, can I roll over a 401k or a retirement plan from my employer into an IRA without paying tax? Now, we know you don't pay tax when you do a rollover. But you know what? If you haven't been taught that, you don't know that.
Right.
So the key is this. People all the time are rolling money out of an existing plan into another plan. And each time you do a rollover or, quote, a transfer, it's a tax-free exchange. Now, the words change depending on the type of instrument it is. But the rules are the same. A rollover, a transfer from point A to point B, as long as you don't put it in your pocket, is called a tax-free exchange. Now, there's another wrinkle, though. I love this wrinkle. So let's say Alan has a 401k, and he tells that company he just left, he says, hey, send me a check for that $8 million that's in my 401k. Wouldn't that be nice?
You're dreaming.
I know. And they say, fine. They send him this check for $8 million, and he takes it down to his bank, and he deposits the check because he doesn't know any better. And somebody comes to him and says, Alan, how long ago did you get that check? And he says, I got it 45 days ago. You know, Alan, you're going to have to pay tax on that entire $8 million right now if you don't, in the next 2 weeks, open up a IRA, an individual retirement account. Alan says, why? Because that's the rules. The rules are you've got 60 days, not 61, not 62, to move that money if you happen to put it in your pocket and put it into a new retirement account. It's called an individual retirement account. Now, understanding is, let's say you got that check, but you didn't even cash it, and it's now 61 days, and now you roll it over. Too bad.
Yep. But this is what we've been talking about today, regulations.
Yeah.
Most people don't know all these little nuances. That's why your team is so important, to be able to guide people to do the right thing when they have to do it. What's the phrase? Timing is everything.
No kidding. You know, I had a I had another one. And lady is leaving a profit company, and she has a 401k, and she's moving to a nonprofit company, which has a 403b. Now, the rules are all exactly the same. I mean, exactly the same. The rules are you can put money in while you're working, and you don't pay tax on it. When you take the money out later on when you're retired, you will pay tax or have it subject to tax based on your then bracket. And if you take that money out and spend any of it prior to age 59 and a half, with rare exceptions, you have a penalty plus tax. So she says, well, I'm going to work for this new company, and they have a 403B, so I'm going to roll my 401K into their 403B. And I said, why are you going to do that? And she goes, I don't know, because they told me that's what to do. And I said, well, think about this logically. A 401K, your employer has set up the rules, set up the guidelines, set up the investments, set up the system. It's under the control of the employer. Okay? She goes, okay. The 403B has, even though it's a nonprofit, they have set up the system with their guidelines, their rules, and their system. It's not what you call in your interest. It's in their interest the way it was set up. Not that it's a bad thing. It's a very good thing, because very often they contribute some money into it too, which is a wonderful thing. But it's now not called a self-directed. It's called under the auspices of that organization. So what you can do is take that 401k or that 403b when you leave that employer, or even while you're with them if for some reason, and you can roll it tax-free into what's called an IRA, an individual retirement account, which you now control, which means you can put it in the bank, you can put it with a stockbroker, you can put it any place you want, and you can take portions of it and put some of it in the bank, some of it with a stockbroker. You got all kinds of options that you may not have if you're in, it's in an employer account.
One of the biggest mistakes that people make, especially with a company 401k, is they have way too much stock of the company they work for in their 401k. And so that is why if you have the opportunity to go into an IRA and you work with people that know the various different types of investments and will sit down with you and discuss, to me, the most important thing, risk tolerance and goals.
Of course.
And have a diversified portfolio, you generally will be in good shape, and you'll be able to weather a lot of the ups and downs of the daily Wall Street.
What happens is, what Alan is alluding to, and his little companies called Enron and a few others that went out of business, and people had stock in those companies, and it's gone.
Yes.
Gone. Well, it was called, they loved the company, everything was working good, and they thought it was the right thing to do, and the people that were working there thought it was the right thing to do, and everybody did until it was gone. Well, like Alan was said, eggs in basket, the old rule was don't put all your eggs in one basket. It doesn't hurt to have some money in your company, stock company. But literally, the more and as time goes on, more and more regulations are slowing down companies from accepting too much money in those portfolios, because their government says, hey, this is, we don't want to put these people at risk, because the average person just doesn't understand and know, and they're being I'm not saying the word led, they're being explained to, not maybe with all the explaining that they needed. And it's very hard for some of the times these people to find somebody that'll communicate with them and explain things and sit down. Whereas when you get an independent person like me or anybody else, sometimes we'll spend hours and hours and hours with people teaching so that they have a clue what they're doing. I had a phone call today, Alan, you'll get a kick out of this, and I liked it. And this guy says, you know, Joe, I listen to this stuff and I'm hearing words and I don't have a clue what they're talking about. They're talking hedge funds, and they're talking options, and they're talking short, and they're talking long, and they're talking all kinds of different words. And he said, what are they talking about? And I said, well, here's the number one thing happens. If you become what's called a sophisticated investor, and you're a substantial person, meaning you're making lots of money or you have saved lots of money, you're called an accredited investor. Accredited means that you have experience, you have knowledge, you have money, and you have earnings. And if you have three out of four of those, normally you can be an accredited investor. Then they set up what is called a margin account. Have you heard of that word, margin account?
I have, yeah.
Do you know what that is, Pastor Dave?
That's where you can draw on projected earnings on your stock.
No, but that's good. See, I'm teaching a boy here or something, right? It's a loan.
Oh, it's okay. It's a loan on the value of stock.
So this broker comes up, and Pastor Dave comes in. He says, hey, you know, I'm a pastor and running this big congregation. I'm making $1 million a year. You ever heard of that happening?
Not at my end of not town, no.
So he says, I'm making all kinds of money. And I said, they said, okay, fine. We'll set you up a margin account, and we will loan you $500,000. And you'll pay interest on that loan. You now can go out and purchase options that on stock that you don't even own, that somebody else owns, and they'll loan it to you, and you can buy and sell these options, and you can make money with the market going down, or you can make money with the market going up in these options. Now, there's one other minor little thing that can happen. You can also lose money. This is not for the faint of heart. Is that fair, Alan?
Let's just say what you're talking about now is way high on the risk scale,
way high on
and
risk scale.
My advice to 95% of the people that may be listening to,
how about
us,
99
is, okay, 99, I'll go along with that, 99.9, don't do it,
so
even think about it.
It's if you're a high roller and you're making $1 million a year, and you've got $1 million or $2 million saved, you might start running in a different arena. And you might want to get into things like that. But I don't personally do them. And I told this guy today, I said, look, if you, and I know the guy, he's not a high roller. And I said, but if you were, I would say, Joe Martek's not your man. I would send you to somebody that's all they do is options. There are specialists. There are professionals. That's what they do. They know that business. And it is complicated. It's more complicated than what we're talking about. And it's for the highly sophisticated normally. And high net worth people normally. Anyway, it was a question that it's the first time in years and years and years somebody called me up and wanted to know what the devil they were talking about, because he didn't have a clue. But you know, you hear radio commercials, TV commercials or whatever, and they talk about these type of things. Hedge funds. Alan, explain what a hedge fund is.
Well, a hedge fund, basically, look at the word hedge. That's the key word. In other words,
and this is not one. You know what he said? This, I got to interrupt you. He said a hedge is what I've got in my backyard.
Yeah, sounds like money for landscaping.
Exactly. That's what he was saying.
It could be if you buy a fertilizer stock or something like that. But a hedge fund, in brief, is you take a position. It doesn't matter whether your position is for the investment to go up or down. You can take a position either way. What a hedge fund does is they'll commit to one side, either going up or going down, but then they have the ability, based on changes in market conditions, to go and take the side that they didn't take in order to protect against a larger loss or protect a profit if they were right. And that's what hedge funds do. They take both sides of the equations at different times.
And what and the end of the story is, do hedge funds always win? No. Do they always lose? No. Do some better than others? No doubt about it. Are they for the faint of heart? No. Are they for the unsophisticated investor? Under normal circumstances, absolutely not. These are just words that you're going to hear.
Right.
It's not that we don't know what they are. It's just that this is a certain, I tell people, when you talk about investing, there's only 30,000 different ways to invest money. There's no such thing as any one person knowing all of them. So different people have different niches in different areas. What I try to do with most of my clients, and Alan already alluded to it just a few minutes ago, one of the questions is what's your goal? How old are you? How much are you making? Where do we want to go with this? How much risk are you willing to take? Do you want to take any risk? How long are you willing to put this money aside? There's all kinds of questions that you and I would talk about. Like, I got somebody, I don't know, not too long ago, in fact, it probably happens regularly. They said, I've got X number of dollars. And I said, okay, what's your goal with that money? He said, well, I'm not sure. I may want to buy a house with it. I said, when do you think you want to buy that house? And he said, well, if I'm going to do it, it'd be within the next 6 months. And I said, well, then you keep that money in the bank. Because 6 months is too short a period of time to not be into something that's 100% secure. One, you've got to normally pay a commission. Two, the market can change. It doesn't mean the value of the stock that you bought, the company is in trouble, but the market can change. And if you buy it today for $10 a share, and when you want to cash it in 3 months from now, it's $9 a share, you just took a 10% hit. And if you'd have had it in the bank, you wouldn't have taken any hit at all. But if you're going to spend money to go buy something, normally that's called short-term investing. When I look at somebody and say short-term liquid, usually it's a year or more. And even then, I'm looking for longer than that. Now, even though I can say, fine, you can get in today and out tomorrow, there's no such thing as getting in and out for free. There's commissions, there's fees, there's whatever that comes along. So normally you want to get into the market with at least a one-year window. And if you're talking about retirement and you're 50, you're talking 15 years, 10 years at least. Mm-hmm. So we wear different hats and we look at different things as what's the goal that you have as an individual. Another thing that happens to me, I'll have retired clients that says, Joe, I need to have $2,000 a month worth of extra income in order for us to eat and live. Well, then we need to look at how much money they've got. How am I going to get them $2,000 a month without undue risk? And you know, so all things, you kind of work backwards, but guys like me are supposed to ask you all of these questions first so that I know who you are.
But here's an important point to go along with what you just said. Sometimes when a person comes in, they have somewhat of a fear of not asking questions or not being entirely forthright with their position because they're afraid that you're going to think less of them or bad of them, something like that. The point is that when you sit down with somebody like Joe Martek, be absolutely honest in where you are, what your feelings are. As Joe said earlier, he's not in the business of judging you as a person or judging how you managed your finances. He's in the business of trying to help you from this day forward to do the best he can to help you meet whatever goal you want or whatever needs you have. Am I correct, Joe?
The easy part is, yes, goal is the magic word. What am I trying to accomplish with this money? What's my goal? How long am I going to be working? So we're going to become, and I tell every one of my clients is this, you know, I'm going to become like a part of the family. You know, you just have to consider me a relative that you trust. And what we're going to do is work together as a team. And I've done this, Alan, since the day I started, because I'm not a 9-to-5-er. And I've got people that walk in the door and say, are you a 9-to-5-er? Because they are sick and tired of 9-to-5-ers. When the bell rings, they can't find them. And I said, everybody's got my cell phone. I don't care when you want to call me. If you call me at 3 in the morning, I may not remember it. But the bottom line is my cell phone is there for all of my clients. So when you have a question, you call me. The worst thing I can see is when a client has a question on a Friday and they don't call until Monday and they fester all weekend. You know, and that's a terrible thing because that can ruin a whole weekend with a simple phone call would have accomplished. And I don't care if it's a Saturday. I've been walking down the street in Barcelona, Spain, and my cell phone rang. And I'm talking to you just like I'm talking to you now. They didn't have a clue that I'm walking down the street in Barcelona, Spain. But I could answer that question and make that person feel better. So that's just what we're here to do.
And they probably came up with the question because they heard something from some TV pundit and it scared them.
Or a next door neighbor.
Yeah, or a next door neighbor. You know, it's important to always realize that there's no bad question.
No such thing.
Sometimes there's bad answers, but there is no bad question.
And people say, Joe, how come you talk people out of investing? I said, because it's the right thing to do. I don't want to see people invest and need that money back in a week or two or a month or three because they needed the money. You normally don't look at that short period of time. Now, I have had a couple of exceptions. I had one of my more favorite ones years ago, and you'll get a kick out of this one, Alan. Old guy, retired, very little money. But his income was fine. He was fine. Living, everything was fine. But he had very little money. And he goes, Joe, I want to invest this money. And I said, how much have you got? And he said, $2,000. And I said, really, I don't want to do $2,000. He goes, why not? And I says, it's not how much it is, but if that's all you've got, you probably should keep that in the bank for emergencies. And he goes, nope, I've got my emergencies covered. I've got my food covered. I got my payments covered. My utilities are covered. I know everything it is. I want to invest that money. I said, now, listen, as much as I'm against that, I'm willing to do it because it's your money, but what do you want to do with that? He says, look, my thing is this, and he said this, if I lose every dime of it, it's fine. He said, I don't want to lose it, but if I did, it's okay. He said, $2,000, no matter what I do, is not going to do anything for me. He said, so I want to take some risk with that money, and maybe it can make something and that I can do something with. And he said, and I don't know how long either. So I said, okay, fine. I'm going to have you sign a piece of paper that just said what you just said, because I don't want you to I don't want you to think that for the whole $20 I'm going to make on this thing, or $40, whatever it was, that I'm doing this to make a buck. What we're trying to do is to roll the dice, and you're willing to take some risk. This is like going to Vegas, and you're going to lose that $2,000 maybe, but on the other hand, you may not. He said, okay, let's do it. Well, this was the height of the recession, when the automobile companies were going down the tubes. And I said, now this is a personal opinion. This is my opinion. Ford Motor Company is the only one out there that's not taking money from the government. And Ford Motor Company stock has gotten down to $1.80 a share. And I said, I think Ford's gonna weather the storm and they're not taking government money. And I think there's a chance that you can really make some money with this. Mm-hmm. And he says, okay, let's do it. Well, guess what? You know, Ford went up to $17 from $1.80. That was called a home run.
Home run,
yeah. His $2,000 became $17,000. That's so quite a nice return.
He was very happy. And we eventually cashed it in because he went to live with a relative who stole the money from him, but not a big deal. You know, it was his money. I didn't say they stole it. Forget that word. But bottom line is, he ended up giving that money away. Understand this, it really didn't make a tremendous amount of difference, $2,000 or $17,000, but the $17,000 looked better than $2,000.
So he had a high risk tolerance, even though he had a low investment nut.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. High risk tolerance was it. And the man was not stupid by any stretch. He just he just was at a position in life where the 2,000 was not going to make a big difference to him on what one way or another. And really, in truth, 17,000 wouldn't make a big difference either.
And you know, when you talk about a high risk tolerance, you sometimes have to put it in like a section of a pie. In other words, maybe your risk tolerance is very low to conservative with 90 to 95% of your money.
Right.
Maybe 5 to 10% of your money, though, you're willing to really take a gamble for the possibility of hitting a home run.
Well, you know, and as funny as that sounds, you know what's the hottest thing going right now, Pastor Dave? It's something you put in your lips and you go like that.
I haven't done that in a long time, but I think
marijuana stocks. You know, the government is loosening up all over the country. Medical marijuana is one of the fastest growing, and a lot of people are jumping on this bandwagon and investing in that, even though it's high risk, because they really think it's going to take off. They asked me what my opinion is, and I said, I don't have one. I really, truly don't. Do I think it's going to work? I don't know, and I really don't, because we got a federal government that says no. We got state governments that say yes. We have illegal, legal. There's all kinds of peripheral stuff that can hurt this thing. So when somebody says to me, Joe, I want to do this, I have them sign a piece of paper that says, Joe Martek sure didn't talk me into this. In fact, Joe Martek, if anything, said he doesn't know anything about it. I'm willing to lose all my money because this is high risk. But they're allowed to do it, you know, because it's company. Now, maybe they'll be right. Maybe like Microsoft, if we'd have bought it when it first came out, you know, 10 shares would make us $1 million or 800 or 500 or whatever the name is later. Mm. You just don't know. But what I'm trying to say is, guys like me, there's not a whole bunch of stuff we cannot do. But when you ask my opinion, sometimes I don't have one. Sometimes I have a very strong one. And sometimes I do a lot of research. Sometimes I do almost none, because when I consider a not too bright investment, I'll just say, this is a not too bright investment, and you're taking a big risk. But if you're willing to take a big risk, you know, I'll take your money and put it in that thing, but you'll sign a paper saying, I know it's a big risk. 1-888-221-8990. Nobody loves us today, Alan.
Well, Joe, if I may mention, you know, the next 2 weeks, there's going to be a little bit of a change. You're not going to have your normal show because we're going to be doing our prayer and praise on WCNO. That to me is a wonderful investment, to be able to invest in the Lord and keep the ministry strong. And I just want to say, Joe, thank you for all the support that you've given WCNO ministry and your show and all the valuable information that you and the team impart. That's what really is important, when we as Christians can come together and help each other in every facet of life that God has given us.
Well, the name of the game with Team Martek is simply that. I'm here to help people. Our group is here to help people. And you know, I had a client of mine from CNO who invested a considerable amount of money with me a long time ago. They called me up this week to say, Joe, thank you for helping that lady that called you last week. Just kind of a nice rush. You know, that there's a lot of things that happens when you've got a group like mine. Now, again, this group, by the way, I don't own any of them. They're all independent. We don't share commissions or fees or anything. They're what I consider the cream of the crop in our local marketplace. And the whole concept is this. There's a ton of knowledge and experience in a whole bunch of us. And then if we're missing any, I'll call Pastor Dave because he knows two or three things. And then I'll talk to Pastor Tom because what Dave doesn't know, Tom usually knows. And then when all else fails, I'll go to this old retired attorney named Alan Love. and we get some information. And our job right here is to help people. And literally, we've been very blessed and very able to do things. Had some really, really good stories that have come out of here. Their people have been very frustrated, and some of the things were relatively easy for us to correct because we have the experience, and they couldn't find anybody to help them that wasn't willing to take $2,000 or $3,000 or $5,000 or $10,000 from them. And there was no guarantee if they'd have donated that money, they would have got cured anyway.
And I just want to let our audience know that you said that I would get a kick out of two things. You kicked me twice during the show, but I'm uninjured. So
you have about 2 minutes to kick him.
I have 2 minutes. Yeah. Okay, hurry up, quick.
Actually, you have two and a half minutes. I'm sorry.
Two and a half. Wait a minute. You're counting, Dave. You know, I'm losing my faith in you.
I'm sorry.
Well, you know, in a short time, let me just ask you a question. Are you pleased with the current regulatory environment in your business? Or do you think there can be improvements to help the average investor?
You know, here's what happens. I never actually think about it because here's what the rules are. And I don't question the rules. I just say I have to comply with the rules. So I'm not overly concerned about what the regulations are. However, the Department of Labor has got a new regulation they're trying to put in, which is becoming a bit of a problem. And it is it's the government getting involved with people's savings. And that I don't like. Now, it looks as though they're postponing it and it may go away. There have been some regulations that are put in place that have hurt business and have hurt individuals. And that wasn't the intention of the regulators to do that, but that's just the way it happened. When you get too many attorneys stacked up at one table and too many government bureaucrats stacked up at the same table, all of a sudden what started off with 10 pages ends up being 50,000 pages and just out there to confuse people. So the regulatory environment today is not what I consider good or user-friendly, and I'm hoping it gets more user-friendly to the benefit of the consumer. And, hey, that's what else can you hope for, Alan?
Absolutely. I agree with you, too. Yep.
Dave, you agree?
I absolutely agree also.
I think there should be more regulations on pastors.
There are regulations. It's called the Bible.
I know. Right.
Yeah, also, a lot of people in the pew will... You know,
a lot of people where?
A lot of people in the pew, you know, will help with that.
Throwing darts at you in case you do something.
Or other things that are pointed, yeah, sometimes.
1-888-221-8990. We're just about out of time for the show. 1-888-221-8990. In fact, how much time do we have less there? Left
about
there?
30 seconds.
About 30 that. Seconds. Yeah. You know what I did is I've never had an official sign off for the show. So I decided I would have an official sign-off for the show. So here it is. You ready?
Ready.
Thank you for the privilege of your time. Know this, we are here to help. And until next week, or 2 weeks from now, or 3 weeks from now, because praise and prayer is going to get in the way, but I might end up showing up anyway to try to help.
We hope you do.
Thank you. Until next week. Bye.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.